It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Haley Brown. Haley is the clinic director of the clinic I practice at, which is White Spruce Medical. And today we're going to be talking about memory. Haley, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
So memory, the reason we're talking about memory is because it is a common problem to have a problem with your memory and have it not work right. And it's getting to be more and more common. More and more people have memory problems. And there's several different diseases that are associated with poor memory. Alzheimer's is the most famous, but there's lots and lots of different kinds of dementia where your brain doesn't work right, different causes to it. And so I want to focus on not necessarily doing a extensive deep dive into the different kinds of memory loss and so on and so forth, but the more common aging type memory loss as people get older and their memories don't work as well, and they can't remember where their car keys are, and they can't remember the name of their dog, whatever, stuff like that.
Right.
Those kinds of problems.
So we're only going to be talking about older associated memory issues?
Yeah, we're not going to be talking about brain injuries and metabolic conditions that affect young people. We could, except there's not that many of those people around.
Okay.
It's better to talk about the common types of run-the-mill types of memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about memory and how it works right. That way we can kind of get a sense of what things can go wrong.
How it works in the body.
Yeah. So the way that memory works is there's a sensory perception. Your eyes, your nose, your smell.
All of your senses.
Your hearing, all your senses send information to your brain.
Right.
And that information is stored very briefly, longer for smell, shorter for sight, in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of that information is purged. You do not retain it. We do not function like a tape recorder where we record everything that ever happened to us. And all you have to do is go into a deep enough hypnotism to be able to pull those memories
right
out. No, that's a myth. It's not true. It doesn't work that way. What happens is our bodies and our brain is very selective about what it retains. There's tons of information that comes.
Well, and yeah, so there's a lot of that in trauma-related things with
memory.
Can store your memories, and then you're never going to be able to get those back until something triggers you on that sensory
level.
So
it's interesting you mentioned trauma, because trauma is one of those situations where you do remember everything.
Right.
Because that is a very important moment in time. When your life was threatened, that's when you remember the most and the most vividly.
Right.
Now, you're not always able to bring it back up again, because there are some safety mechanisms that are built into those kinds of memories.
Mm-hmm.
They're overwhelming. They can shut your brain down. This is like PTSD type stuff.
Right.
And though they often, once you've got over the crisis and things have calmed down and things are safe again, typically those memories will start bubbling up.
Yeah.
With much consternation. Now, again, we're not going to go into that. That's an interesting subject, how mm-hmm. that all works. We'll touch upon it a bit in terms of how memory works and how to fix it. But it does not show on PTSD memory loss. This is showing more traditional kind of run-of-the-mill memory loss. Okay, anyway, so there's information comes in from your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your sit bones and your little toe and your elbow
throughout
and your
whole life.
Eyebrow and everything else, right?
Yeah.
It comes in, and then your brain stores it all briefly,
mm-hmm.
decides which bits of it are important enough to throw into short-term memory. There's sensory memory, which is not even memory at all, because you only hold it for a second, maybe, or half a second or 4 seconds, depending on what sense we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that is just thrown out. Some of it makes the grade, and your brain decides, I'm going to throw this into short-term memory. And what it does, it throws it into short-term memory. Now, short-term memory lives in the front of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's managed by this chemical called acetylcholine. And acetylcholine is interesting because you can actually manipulate acetylcholine levels. And there's been a theory for a long time, if we can get acetylcholine levels to go up, we can get our memory to work better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if it didn't work. It didn't pay out. Most of the Alzheimer drugs affect acetylcholine metabolism. And if they push it really hard, you start getting side effects. And if they don't push it hard enough, it doesn't really do much. And honestly, when you really get down to it, none of those drugs work. Bottom line.
We haven't found anything that makes Alzheimer's or dementia, I mean, any better.
Pill.
Yeah.
We found lots of stuff that helps Alzheimer's. Lots and lots.
Lots of things.
Not pill stuff.
Yeah, pill-wise. Yeah,
pill-wise, it's been
medication-wise.
It's been a bust.
Yeah.
No medication works for Alzheimer's. None. Not a single one. So, though there is a lot of things you can do for Alzheimer's. Anyways, again, this whole show's not about Alzheimer's. Let's go back to how memory works.
Yeah.
So, you got this short-term memory. And in short-term memory, you'll remember things for about 30 seconds. And then some of that, the vast majority of short-term memory is purged as well.
Mm-hmm.
And only the tip of the top, the creme de la creme of memory is transferred into long-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens via a part of our brain that's deep in our brain called the hippocampus. And the hippocampus basically sorts out these memories and stores them. Now, the kind of stuff that our hippocampus likes to store is where things are in mm-hmm. space. And it's amazing. You think, funny, because all the stuff we're doing in our lives, all the names we have to remember and all the procedures we have to remember and all the book stuff we have to remember, things that we've read and things that we've learned, very little of it has to do with space, where something is in space. But if you think about it for a second, imagine that you're a...
Like left or right on which street to take?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Where in the forest is that thing that was so tasty and delicious, I want to go find another one.
Right.
So you think about our ancestors, that's what memory was most important, was where stuff was.
Right, where the water was, where the food was. Yeah.
They lived in this giant space.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff out there. And you had to remember where it is and how to get from point A to point B, but also where the stuff between point A and point B is, because you had to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a very, very, very strong incentive to be able to remember where stuff is. And that's what the hippocampus is best at.
Right.
So if you want to work your memory, one of the best ways to do it is put it into space.
Mm-hmm.
Think about where this would be in space. Think about the three dimensions of it.
Right.
Right, and then your chances to be able to pull that thing back out of memory goes better. Mm-hmm. If you can organize it, if you can categorize it, you can get it in relationship with other things, then your chances of remembering that thing go way, way up. It's about patterns and pattern recognition.
Right.
Now, if there's a spatial aspect to it, more power to you, but so often information doesn't have a spatial aspect to it, but there is a pattern aspect to it. And the patterns feel like there's space in them, at least according to your hippocampus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me give an example. I used to, when I was in medical school, I had to get a job that I would work evenings, make a whole bunch of money to be able to feed my family and pay my mortgage, but I couldn't work in the daytime. So can you imagine what job I got?
A delivery driver?
Only at night? No, delivery drivers work in the daytime.
What, only at night? Security guard? What? That's daytime, too.
Well, no, yeah, security guards are mostly in the daytime. Stripper would fit the bill.
Yeah.
Except for, unfortunately, I don't really have the physique. I waited tables.
Waited tables, okay.
That's what I did. I waited tables. And so one of the things you have to do in waiting tables, you have to have a good memory if you're going to do it right.
Right.
You go to a table, you ask everybody what they want. If you're a good waiter, you never write it down. You just remember it.
Right.
And so what I would do is I would look at people's faces, and I would remember them eating that food.
Yeah.
I have to write anything down. I could just remember everything. Now, also, the other thing I had to do is I had to remember all the specials. I worked in a restaurant that had, like, half the menu was new every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they prided themselves on that. And there was, you know, lots of different kinds of chicken and salads and desserts and different entrees and all kinds of combinations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would do is I'd come into work every day, and I'd look at the special list, and there was 9 to 13 different things on that list. I would go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da in my mind, and then I'd have everything memorized. And my coworkers just knew I had a photographic memory, which I do not do. I assure you, everybody who knows me knows I don't have a photographic memory because I can't remember people's names to save my life. But I can remember the relationship of the various kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say we had, you know, I don't know, 11 things to remember. Okay, I look at the list. There are 3 chickens.
Right.
Various kinds of chicken. You know, there's the mesquite chicken and the tequila chicken and the Southwest barbecue chicken, whatever, right. There's different kinds of chicken. There are 3 salads, right? And we go through the same thing with the salads. Mm. There's 2 steaks and there's, what's that, leave it? 3
desserts.
Desserts, like, whatever, 3 different desserts, right? And I can remember that. It's not that hard to remember.
Yeah.
There's 3 desserts, 2 steaks, 3 salads, 3 chicken. That's not that hard to remember. I can remember that. Now, within those categories, I have to remember the various individuals. Mm-hmm. So all I did was organize them. I didn't remember a list of 13 things or 11 things. I put them into categories.
Right.
Now, this is common sense, admittedly. Yeah, except for it's not. Those of you listening, half of you never do this. You just try to remember the whole list. And you think, how does anybody ever do that?
I definitely categorize my things when I do.
Categorize it.
Always.
That's how you do it. You categorize stuff. The chances of you being able to pull that information out goes up exponentially. That's how memory works. It works in space. It mm-hmm. works with relationships of things to other things.
Right.
You can get the things to other things pattern. Then your chances of you being able to pull that information out goes way up. Now, mm-hmm. this is not an intuitive kind of thing. This is a thing that you practice. If you practice this, you start looking for patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me a string of numbers. The first thing I do is I try to find what the pattern is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so the first 2 numbers added together equal the next 2 numbers, which if those are divided by 2 equal the next 2 numbers, I can remember that list. Now, mm-hmm. there's no pattern. It's really hard. I'm good for about 6-7 numbers, which, by the way, is about a phone number, right?
Mm-hmm.
More than that, it gets wobbly. But if I can find the pattern, I can go on and on and on and on and on. So the trick is pattern recognition. That is the way our brain is designed. That is the way it's set up. The hippocampus's job is to recognize patterns.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does when it throws these short-term memories into long-term memory. It's establishing these patterns.
So the sensory memories can also be turned into short-term and long-term memories, right?
Yes, they can.
Because, like, when I travel a lot, and every time I come back home to Alaska, I mean, it smells different. I know what Alaska smells like. It smells like home. It feels like home. And everywhere that I go, you know, if something else smells or if a person smells different, like I can tell or I remember, like, this is what you used to smell like. You smell different now.
You know, it's interesting because smell goes deeper. It's more likely to get transferred into the hippocampus than any other sense.
Yeah.
It's smell. Smell's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Sense of touch is the least amount. Hearing is up there close to smell. And what you see is kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But smell is the key. Smell goes deep.
Yeah.
So I don't know why smell is so important to us, but our brains really value smell, and they put smell up near the top in terms of our ability to remember and bring memories back.
Right.
You come across a smell, and then you get this memory. You're back in the Caribbean, right? I remember I had a colleague who I gave a taste of this concoction that it has glutathione in it. Glutathione has a naturally occurring sulfur in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave her a shot of this stuff, and it looks like Kool-Aid, but it tastes like, I don't know, sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
And she drinks it, she glazes over, and I'm going like, whoa, what happened to you? Where'd you go? And she kind of comes out of it and she says, I just relived my trip to the hot springs.
That's too funny.
Because it's the smell.
Yeah.
The smell.
Yeah.
The taste and smell are closely related to one another.
Right.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit more about the hippocampus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we need to do a break.
Let's take a break first. It's about that time.
Okay, well, then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the ways to get the hippocampus to work better.
Okay.
There's things you can do that'll turn it on even more, super strong.
Good health is possible. We'll be back with more health talk.
When your guts go bad, your life goes bad.
Whether it's diarrhea, constipation, heartburn, or cramping, any of them can take the joy out of life. I'm Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director at White Spruce Medical. Our team fixes GI problems at the root.
White Spruce Medical, located in the Steese Medical Center in Fairbanks. We bill insurance.
White Spruce Medical, it's time to get your life back.
When you have an opinion.
We need to re-record that.
Do you have a new opinion, or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guest on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh, yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science, and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real, and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more health talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm here with Haley Brown, and Haley and I are talking about memory. And Haley, I agree with you. We do need to re-record that.
We're no longer at the Steese Immediate Center. We are now at 100 Cushman Street.
We're downtown.
Third floor, KeyBank Building.
Yeah, KeyBank Building. So let's go back and talk about the hippocampus. Because hippocampus, for those who came late to the conversation, let me catch you up. We're talking about memory. We're talking about how it works, how it breaks down, what you can do to fix it. And the basic rundown of the memory, how it works, is there's a sensory memory. All our senses are stored in our brain for about a second, and then it's purged.
Right.
Some of that is important enough that it goes into short-term memory, and that's stored for about 30 seconds, and then it's purged. Some of that, which is a very small percentage of the amount of information our brain takes in every second, some of that is put into long-term storage, and it does so via the hippocampus.
Right.
The hippocampus is looking for patterns. The hippocampus is really designed to find patterns in our world and remember things based on their pattern. And that gets put into long-term memory. And basically, our understanding of how it works is the neurons recreate this pattern. There's a pattern in the way the information is stored. There's a pattern in how the neurons store it. If you practice that pattern over and over and you're something you're trying to learn and you go over it, you kind of reinforce the pattern in your brain so that you can pull it up. Some stuff goes super deep. You remember it forever. They're locked in. Other things get a little fuzzy and vague as we get older. And a lot of the reason why things get plugged in or not plugged in is because of the emotional impact of it. If it's got a strong emotional impact, those memories tend to get locked in. If it has a weak emotional impact, first of all, most of those never get even moved into short-term memory, long-term memory. And the ones that go into long-term memory, they got to have some kind of vital reason for it to go there. Your brain and its wisdom makes some decisions on what to put there. Now, one of the key things that'll get stuff to go into long-term memory is danger.
Right.
If you are threatened, most everything that happens during that time gets put into long-term memory.
Right.
You have these vivid memories of things that were super exciting. You know, the time you went skydiving, you think about it and you're flying through the air again in your mind because there was so much danger involved in doing that.
Right.
It's locked in, right? Whatever the thing is, there's a thing that gets locked in. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. The danger both intensifies the memory.
Right.
And increases chances it gets into long-term memory and then it gets into long-term memory in a vivid way. At the same time, it also kills the neurons in the hippocampus and trims them and makes them more focused on important memories and less able to pull up unimportant memories. So that feeling of skydiving is burned into your memory. And yet the name of your third grade teacher is vague. What was her name?
Right.
Like that. Because those weak, less emotional memories, unless that third grade teacher was horrid.
Right.
And then, oh, we all remember Mrs. Winch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The core memories are the ones that stick through and the ones that stay. And the more that you have the fight or flight memories, the more those are going to overcast the other ones.
Well, yeah, and they're going to stick in, and the memories that don't have the emotional attachment to it tend to fade, and your hippocampus itself degrades. That's the point I'm trying to tell. The hippocampus
the memory
is,
itself
is wrecked really? By stress.
Really?
Wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
You'll lose a considerable portion. You lose about 5% of your hippocampus per decade
mm-hmm.
with lots of stress. By the time you're 60, 70, you got much of the hippocampus left.
Right.
You can't remember diddly squat because of the trauma that you have gone through. Now, everybody gets trauma. There's no avoiding trauma. You can't live on the planet Earth without getting trauma.
So how do we build that? How do we build back this hippocampus? Do we just go out in a maze and try to find our way out of a maze?
Yes.
Once a week?
Yep. You are correct.
Yeah.
It's funny you intuited that, Haley, yeah. but you actually got the right thing. That's exactly what you do. What you do is you go outside and you go on a walk and you walk through the woods and you got to remember how to get back.
Yeah.
That's what you do. I'm not kidding you. That's literally what you do. That's going to be one of the strongest ways to improve your memory that there is.
Right.
Is that using it as actually going out into the world, doing stuff, figuring out how to get back.
Right.
Now, you don't necessarily have to go in the woods and walk in the woods on a trail. There are other places that you could go walk around. The single most powerful tool I have found to help with memory is folk dancing, of all things. I know it sounds
crazy.
Because
it's patterns.
Yep.
It's patterns, remembering your footsteps.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's patterns. You have to remember the pattern. You have to do the pattern.
You have to hear
also,
the music, do it
it's
on
exciting.
Beat. Yeah.
There's this thing where you're standing with somebody else and you're doing it together with them. There's a charge that goes along with it, and yet it's a happy charge, not an overwhelming charge, not a threatening charge, if it's done correctly.
Right.
And you have this fun. There's music associated with it, which helps with memory.
Right.
Music is a very powerful tool to getting memory to work better. In fact,
one
of the things about Alzheimer's is one of the last bits of memory to go for Alzheimer's is memory of music.
Yep.
The people who can't remember the name of their wife can remember the
play
song.
Play Mozart without,
yep.
yeah, second
Bingo.
Guess, yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it? Music
yeah.
goes deep. It's another one of those things that go deep. And we can use it to strengthen the other memories. So there's lots and lots and lots of stuff that we can do to improve our memory, except for none of the things we talked about so far have been any pill. There's no pill that works.
Right.
What happens is our brain is set up a certain way to work a certain way. If we will honor that, and work with that.
How it builds and rebuilds.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the thing is about doing something. A lot of times there is no pill for it. You want to learn to play the piano? There's no pill for that.
No.
Right?
You have to build
You want to read
yourself.
A book? There's no pill for that.
Right.
There's so many things that there's no pill for. But what you have to do is actually do them and practice. Do them and practice. Memory is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fix it with a pill. You cannot fix it with a potion. That includes the natural stuff. What you have to do is you have to use it. It is a muscle. It's like exercise.
Use it or you'll lose
You have
it,
to
yeah.
use it, and it will strengthen. Now, interesting thing about exercise is they actually looked at exercise, like weightlifting, compared to dancing, this folk dancing thing, and they found that exercise, no matter what,
mm-hmm.
is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise in and of itself, because there's improved blood flow,
right.
there's stimulation, your brain tends to be healthier because it's hooked to the rest of your body.
Right.
Turns out to be an organ attached to the rest of the organs. If the rest of the organs are healthy, the brain becomes healthier,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because they're all connected. But if you can do so in a way that has patterns and pattern recognition
Makes
with the exercise,
yeah.
bingo, now you go. Now you are doing the most you can to get your memory to go. Interesting.
Well, yeah, that's fun ways to be able to get your brain moving.
And fun.
Working. Yeah, and fun.
Or terrifying, as the case may be. But like, I've talked to many people about folk dancing, and it's only the same thing. It's out of the research.
Mm-hmm.
They glaze over and look at me, and there's no way.
There's no way I
no
can
way.
Dance. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll do anything but folk dance.
But then it brings in that shock and horror factor that, you know, it works your memory because you're in that, oh, I'm so scared to dance in front of other people mode.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, it's not as bad as you think. We actually have a scene here in Fairbanks where there's folk dancing. I don't know if everybody knows this. It's called contra dancing.
Now, yeah.
There's square dancing, too. Square dancing is fabulous.
And there's line dancing in town, too.
There is, in fact.
Yeah.
The one that works the best, though, is the contra dancing because they're set up for beginners.
Right.
Quarter to a third of the group, every dance is people never done it before.
Oh, there
and
you
so
go.
They're very, very, very good at teaching people who don't know how to dance pairing them up with somebody who knows how to dance, or just bring somebody with you, and both of y'all together can learn how to do this thing.
Right.
Everybody does it together, and they walk you through it without music and say, here's what we want you to do, here's what we want you to do, mm-hmm. here's what we want you to do, here's how to do it, mm-hmm. right? Okay, everybody ready? A one, and a two, and a boop, boop, boop. The music kicks on, and then everybody's doing it together, and it's a hoot. If it works, it's fun. If it doesn't work, it's still fun, and you manage to get through the whole thing, and people get lit.
Right.
Now, it had to get shut down during COVID, unfortunately, for reasons that are obvious.
Right.
But it's not shut down anymore. It's back up and running. So there's a way. You got a memory problem. What you do is go to do contra dancing, which is folk dancing.
Walk to contra dancing.
Well, yeah, you can get a fair amount of walking while you're there.
Yeah.
Okay, now there is a bunch of stuff. Having downplayed all the role of nutrients and those kinds of things in terms of helping memory, let me mention a few things that are helpful with memory. Hormones. They're really important. If your hormones are running low, for whatever reason, it affects your memory. Mm-hmm. Estrogen's key. Estrogen is key. Not testosterone.
Estrogen.
Yeah. Estrogen is key. Estrogen has this effect on improving memories, improving the retention of memories. I'm not exactly sure what the mechanism is. I don't think anybody knows what it is. But we do know for sure. If you block estrogen, then people's memories fall apart and they become demented. If too much estrogen, you grow cancer, so you don't want to do too much.
Right.
But there's this happy medium when the estrogen is just right and your memory clicks in. Your memory works better for it.
Right.
So it turns out that estrogen is important. So
I've heard that ginkgo biloba is helpful.
It can be. Ginkgo can be helpful because ginkgo helps with microcirculation. Turns out our brains are full of blood, mm-hmm. and if our blood vessels are clogged or squeezed or occluded in some way,
right.
then our brain doesn't work right. The neurons don't work right. Mm-hmm. They die back, and you'll lose memories because the patterns of the neurons are where the memories are being stored.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can improve circulation in your brain, we're back to exercise, by the way.
Right.
But if you can improve circulation in your brain, then you can get things to work better. Ginkgo biloba is one of those things that are helpful. Bioflavonoids in general, berries are naturally rich in bioflavonoids. Fruits and vegetables are naturally rich in bioflavonoids. Ginkgo is one of many. It hasn't anything special about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of many. And it's convenient because it comes in a pill form. So you can actually get your memory to get working better by doing ginkgo. But there you can get way, 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 way more improvement.
By doing it yourself and getting out there and finding something to do to work your brain.
Yeah, there's that. And also just by eating healthy food, eating lots of fruits and vegetables.
And getting good sleep, too. Sleep
getting lots of color. Yeah, and the other thing, right, that we didn't even touch upon the sleep. The sleep is key. I should have started with the sleep thing. It's so important. But the sleep, what happens during sleep is your body repairs and your brain, like filing system repairs.
Right.
The best thing we could tell is during REM sleep, your brain organizes itself. It mm-hmm. goes through old memories. It goes for various things. And it kind of locks memories in.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been trying to learn something and practice something and did it go and it's frustrating you, a lot of times all you have to do is just sleep on it.
Right.
And then we wake up in the morning and then you have it. There
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
locked into your brain.
Yeah.
Because your brain has been working the whole night. You know, it's interesting when we say we sleep, you think our body's resting. And it is, not our brain.
Right.
Our brain's, if anything, more active at night than it is in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
You do more work at night than it does in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
It's most of the calories that it burns in 24 hours are burned at night.
Right.
So it's extremely active at night. It's doing cleaning. It's doing sorting. It's doing organizing. And if you don't sleep, your memory will fail.
Right.
Basically, the cleaning mechanisms fall apart. How interesting this whole subject is. There's so much that we can understand
different.
And do and actually influence our memory. There's all kinds of things. We're not powerless. It's not like you lose your memory, you get old, and you're screwed. That doesn't go like that at all. There's a zillion things that you can do. There's lots and lots and lots of things you can do include in your life to keep your memory going.
Right.
Any final questions, words?
No, I think that we're good.
Good, excellent. So I want to remind everybody this has been Health Talk. I've been here with Haley Brown. My name is Dr. Scott Looper. I'm the medical director of White Spruce Medical, located at the Key Bank Center here in downtown.
At the Key Bank Building downtown.
Well, it's actually KeyBank Center, because if you look at the, it's KBC. If you look at the parking spaces, they all have KBC on them. That's not a business. That's the building.
That's the building. Okay.
KBC. You learn something every day, right?
Well, now we know. And you can park in those visitors parking. Everybody's been asking me where you can park, and it's in that visitor parking.
So we like fixing stuff. We do all kinds of things. We fix a wide variety of problems. Just, oh, by the way, one of the things that we fix is memory problems.
Mm-hmm.
I like treating memory problems. Though, if you have somebody with a bad memory, I want you to come in with a spouse or a daughter or sibling or a friend or somebody, so that
they have a clear mind and they can remember stuff for you.
Remember stuff that we're talking about, and then take it home and actually practice it.
Yep.
So that's a key thing. Anyways, excellent. We want everybody to stay safe, stay healthy, and stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.